Hey, Western Wisconsin, let's see what we're up to. The very last day of July. At the end of the day, I can say, hey, see you next month. I like that as a fourth grader, and I still do. Hi, everybody. Al Ross. This is Spectrum West here on Wisconsin Public Radio, the arts, the music, the culture of Western Wisconsin. Good to have you along. Today, Jim Oliver takes us to Rice Lake for a look at the Red Barn Theater production of the Neil Simon classic, The Sunshine Boys. We have a peek at Blues on the Chippewa, the 7th annual, beginning tomorrow, Friday, in Durand. We'll hear a sample of what attendees will hear live. The St. Croix Riverway is one of the proudest highways in western Wisconsin. It takes work to keep it proud and to protect it from things that threatened its unsullied existence. We will talk with a water resource steward who can help us all have that title. Jim Oliver also has a look at what's on stage in western Wisconsin, and we'll share some Spectrum memos along the way. But what do you say we turn the key on this audiomobile with this? Jerry Way, guy that has his fingers in more musical projects than anyone I know. And after just completing a musical directorship for a play, he dives into Pure Water Days and the annual Rising from the Bogs of the Swampers, a group that sings original stuff about Chippewa Falls, its history, and its heritage. Well, with guitar in hand, Jerry visited the studio the other day with a preview of this year's Swampers Serenade. We'll get to the particulars of the event in a moment, but relate to us the history of the Swampers.
The Swampers, this is our 13th year of performing to open Pure
Lucky,
Water Days.
Lucky 13.
Aggregation of musical lumberjacks, and we play folk instruments. We sing in four and a half part harmony, we call it. I'm the half part.
You are. So did they form solely for Pure Water Days performances?
Yeah. This group grew right out of Pure Water Days, and because Swampers are a name for the lowest paid lumberjacks,
the ones
that clear the trails through the swamps and things for the logging trails, we figured that was a good name.
Do you go by your names, or did you come up with pseudonyms that were kind of swampish?
Oh, no, we go by our own names.
Oh, you do.
The group,
sometimes
we put Swamper in front, like I'm Swamper Jer.
Oh, sure. Kind of like the Lions Club.
Yeah,
there you go. Well, tell us about William Kirk. I didn't realize Chippewa Falls had a poet laureate, but they call him the poet laureate of Chippewa Falls.
William F. Kirk lived from 1877 to 1927, just short of 50 years old when he died. And he grew up in Chippewa Falls. His parents moved when he was about 3 years old to Chippewa Falls, and went to the Chippewa Falls High School, went to work for the Herald newspaper, and wrote poems as part of a daily column called The Fleeting Fancies. His poems went over so well that the Milwaukee Sentinel editor offered to double his salary if he'd come to Milwaukee and do the same thing. So naturally he pursued it and was so successful with the Milwaukee Sentinel that William Randolph Hearst, the famous New York publisher, invited him to New York. And he went to New York as a career in sports writing for the New York Giants games. Mm. What a thing to do for a living, go to baseball games daily, but also poetry that appeared daily in the New York papers and in published books.
So have you been able, and other people can read things of his that were archived?
At least one of his books is still in print.
Are there any newspapers that old? At the library? Could you read his column?
I think that would be possible, too. In microfilm, you'd have to go into, I think. Or as they've done it now, digitally, the digital equivalent of microfilm now.
So who took the Scandinavian dialect thing further? Is that you guys that
did
this?
That's his published. The book is still in publication, still in print. The Norsk Nightingale, it's called. And he became very famous for these poems supposedly by lumberjacks talking about life up here in the North Woods.
Really?
Yeah.
So now, is he commemorated in other ways in Chippewa Falls? Is there a Kirk Street, or is there a Kirk something or other? I mean, can you feel his presence in Chippewa Falls other than things like you guys are doing?
He's appeared in a couple of the commemorative books that have come out on Chippewa Falls history, but as far as I know, there's no street named after him or anything like that. Mm. He grew up in the house his family grew up in. It was just a couple blocks from my house, which I didn't know. It's kind of,
is it a big opulent house, or is it just a regular?
Just a regular family home.
Yeah. Really? You ought to start a movement to get him more commemorated in Chippewa Falls.
I think so.
Being such
this may do it, yeah. I've set every lyric that we're singing in this show are his words from his published poems, and I've set them to music. So I'm hoping that this will get him well-known.
Jerry Way is with us in the studio. The show is called Out of the Current. It features the Swampers, and it's part of Pure Water Days, which is coming up next week. Are there any of Kirk's descendants still in town?
He was a single man, but the rest of his family moved to Spokane, Washington, and he still has nephews and things that are out there. One of his sisters married a local Chippewa Falls person, and it's quite possible that there are some relatives, but I didn't run on to any. Mm-hmm. None that I know personally.
Back to the Swampers. Why don't you give us the names of the people who are in the Swampers, who participate every year?
Well, we have three members of the Danielson family who have the group Danville. Tim Danielson, his wife Kathy Danielson, and then their daughter Casey Yeager are in the Swampers. We have Rob Kukta, the violinist, and Judy Brist, the multi-instrumentalist, and Amanda Tanzer, and myself.
Well, how would you describe your sound? It's all acoustic, right?
Yeah, it's built on folk music, and our instrumentation would be similar to a bluegrass instrumentation, but we call our music swamp grass because the swamps. Sure,
that makes a ton of sense. Pure Water Days is August 8th through 10th, and it includes lots of stuff: YMCA races, sporting events, kids' games, fireworks, live entertainment. It's the kind of stuff we're talking about here.
In fact, Thursday, August 7th is our show. Yeah. We kick it off, so that's part of Pure Water Days, too.
So you're the big kickoff.
We're the kickoff, yeah.
There's a kids' parade. There's food. 7th. Large parade on Saturday and other city. But any idea how many years Pure Water Days is going on?
Right off the top of my head. It started in 1977, so you'll have to do the math there.
1977?
1977, oh, okay. Pure Water Days began, yeah.
All right. Well, you have a guitar on your knee, as we requested and as we're always happy to see. So what are you going to do for us?
Well, this is a song with words by William Kirk, of course, Stealing a Ride. And it's supposedly a lumberjack has been working on a threshing crew in North Dakota, and he's hopped a freight train to get back through Minnesota into and back home again.
Here's Jerry Way and Stealing a Ride, ladies and gentlemen.
Bumping over crossings, bumping over switches, till it ain't this onion going to fall in ditches, hiding with some cattle, it ain't about 68. Yemeni, Dispinyali, stealing right on freight. Eben yus true treshing, up in North Dakota, now I guess I'm going back to old Minnesota. Now this train been stopping about 6 hours to wait. Yemeni, Dispinyali, stealing right on freight. There's more to the story, but that gives you the flavor.
So how long did it take you to, have you had this Scandinavian ability, dialect-wise?
He writes it, the spelling in the in the poems are such that if you read the poems, you're going to automatically have a Scandinavian accent.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
So you can tell Ole and Lena jokes to the best of them.
Yeah, I think he started the trend.
Well, you know, you don't allow you time to put your feet up too much, do you? You just finished Thoroughly Modern Millie. How did that all go?
Oh, that went great. We did it. Very wonderful time we had. And so Amanda Tanzer played Millie, and she's a swamper, so she yumps right into the show.
Oh, my.
Show
she
too.
Yumping Yimini.
Yeah,
yumped
right in. And Judy Brist was the piano accompanist, and she's yumping right in too, and so am I. So, yeah, it's.
Holy
out
moly.
Of the frying pan into the swamp.
It's called Out of the Current, and the Swampers are performing. So now when this is done, what's next on the Jerry Way Buffet?
I have a show which is yet secret that I've finished writing that will be in March. So I'll probably come back and beg at your door.
That's an annual thing, isn't it? Don't you kind of do a spring...
It kind of turns out I write a swamper show in the fall, and we do it the following summer, I write a musical comedy in the in the spring, and we do it the following winter.
I'm picturing you just running in and out of the house, grabbing a sandwich, and your wife goes, "Where are you going now?"
Yeah, sometimes it's like that.
Out of the Current, the Swampers. It's Thursday night, August 7th. Actually, you have an afternoon performance, too.
Yes,
don't you?
Yeah,
you have it at 2 o'clock. And 7:30 features the music, not the music of, it's the words of William F. Kirk.
Yeah.
Internationally loved poet, humorist, syndicated columnist, and baseball writer, it says.
Yeah, here. For the New York Giants.
New York Giants. Grew up in Chippewa Falls. Jerry Way, thanks so much. Always a pleasure to have you here on Spectrum West.
Thank you, Al.
The Swampers rise out of the morass, hose themselves down with some of that Chippewa Falls pure water, dry themselves off, and belt out some original tunage for your entertainment. Having summer fun in the valley. This is Spectrum West.
Support for WPR comes from Herbster Studio Art Tour along the south shore of Lake Superior, featuring home studios showcasing artistic talent and artwork silent auction, August 16th and 17th. Open to the public. More at herbsterstudioarttour.com.
And we'll have more first-person information on the Herbster Art Tour in coming weeks right here. Well, you know, we're somewhat focused on the Chippewa River musically this week with Blues on the Chippewa, and of course you just heard about Pure Water Days in Chippewa Falls. But to the west, there's another lovely river valley, the St. Croix, home of a national riverway and inhabited by people who passionately want to see the unspoiled stay that way. And that's why there's a St. Croix River Association, staffed by those kinds of people. One is Monica Zaki, and Monica is a water resource steward. I got her on the phone to tell her how prestigious that title sounds. A water resource steward. What a great title. I mean, there are such important words contained in one title. I can guess, but tell us what a water resource steward does.
Well, I basically do all the water resource programming, so water quality projects. I work a lot with local government units. I work with county departments. Basically, my job is not to do boots on the ground, but to do whatever I can to help bring in money. I basically, you know, work with all the partners in the watershed. We've got a watershed that's almost 8,000 square miles, so it's my job to figure out, you know, how to build partnerships and leverage funding to increase implementation and projects on the ground to protect water quality.
What kind of education is required to do what you do?
Well, I have a 4-year degree in natural resources. My background is actually in forestry and education, but through work experience ended up in water resources, and I absolutely love it.
It appears most of you involved with the river are stewards. I mean, I received a release from a river connection steward. So
yes, that's correct.
So the word steward is actually important to you guys.
It is. Well, and I think, too, being able to kind of distinguish the difference that we're not a typical government organization. We're a nonprofit, and a lot of those positions at more of a government, they go technician and specialist. So we're pretty equivalent to those type of positions, but we're really into celebrating and protecting and being stewards of the river.
True.
And really embracing that meaning.
The St. Croix River Association, I think a lot of people are glad there is one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, our organization has actually been around for over 100 years. But it was primarily led only by volunteers with a dollar due membership. And about 5 years ago, our board of directors decided that they wanted to take a strategic direction, and so they hired our first staff, Deb Ryan. She's our executive director. And from there, the past 5 years, we've grown to almost 6 full-time employees now, and we are really expanding the organization through land protection, water quality, and species, and we're really excited that we're growing.
You had some events earlier this month in association with the River Alliance of Wisconsin, designed to gain support and recruit volunteers for monitoring invasive species. Were those events successful?
Yeah, they were. One direction that we've really been heading that's been growing is educating and getting volunteers and really ramping things up with aquatic invasive species protection. The St. Croix River, we've got some zebra mussels and, you know, carp are looming, possibly coming our way. But really our goal is we're in a protection and a prevention mode. So with volunteers, we can really increase people on the ground, keeping their eyes and ears and everything out. So we basically had a training. It's called Project RED, and the RED stands for Riverine Early Detectors. We had over a dozen volunteers come out. They learned about aquatic invasive species like plants and fish and mussels and other threats to our rivers. And then we took them out on the river on stretches and said, okay, this is what you look for. And so throughout the rest of the season, they're going to be out on our riverways looking for these invasive species.
Mm-hmm.
If anything is identified, we can have a rapid response.
That's the voice of Monica Zaki. She's a water resource steward with the St. Croix River Association. And you're stationed in St. Croix Falls?
Correct.
You mentioned the word riverine. That's a new word for me. I don't know that I've ever heard that word before. What's a riverine?
Riverine is a riverway.
Ah.
So tributary streams, the smaller all the way up to the St. Croix, being larger, riverine. Huh.
I've been around a long time, and I never heard that word.
All right.
I feel real ignorant.
Well, no, you learn something new every day.
You also mentioned a short time ago some high-profile invasive species that we all hear about, like zebra mussels and Asian carp. But there are a bunch of others, both flora and fauna. Enlighten us, if you would, please, on some that we don't hear about but we should be concerned with.
Well, one of the more recent threats that we've discovered for plants is Eurasian water milfoil. It's a very, very common in a lot of lake systems throughout Minnesota and Wisconsin and the Midwest, but it's somewhat new on the main stem of the St. Croix, and we have some north of the Taylor's Falls Dam. And so that's really something that we've partnered with the Polk County Land Department to try to control. We've helped them organize some volunteers to come out and actually help pull some of that aquatic plant, but to really small avail, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
It's a pretty aggressive plant. We're closely monitoring it with those partnerships.
What do regular people do to keep that from spreading?
Well, clean off your boat motors.
Yeah, okay.
That's a big one. Most of these plants, they spread pretty quick because they get chopped up. And then in a river system, it's very difficult because everything flows downstream. So all it takes is a few segments from upstream to flow down, and there you go.
See, the armchair environmentalist in me would think, or armchair naturalist would think, some of these exotics wouldn't be able to handle winter, but I guess they do, huh? They don't go away when we get cold and frozen.
You know, there are so many different factors, and this is where maybe the education training kind of comes in. You know, looking at the whole ecology of the ecosystem is that, you know, you have temperatures in the winter, you have temperatures in the summer, water levels. There's so much. There's other, you know, biological factors that can change how a plant grows from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
What we found this year with the Eurasian water milfoil is, you know, the water was really low for a huge portion of the season because they were working on the dam. So there's a chance that, you know, next year we can see an impact on the population, you know, if any of that milfoil was exposed to the sun too much. But in certain circumstances, you know, a plant will grow best in deeper water versus shallow. And so when those water level changes, it can really affect a population. It's pretty complex.
Are there other programs and opportunities for people like us to help you guys in your important work other than the programs that you're putting together, like that red thing that happened in July?
Yes. Well, actually, I am very, very thrilled that we have a new aquatic invasive species coordinator that will be starting in about a month that's really going to be able to focus on doing more volunteer events. Project Red, that Riverine Early Detectors, will be going on annually, and we hope to expand that program to more locations.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're also doing an algae alert network, partnering with the Park Service and the U.S. Geological Survey to have people employed out there with water bottles, and when they see the algae blooms happening, we have them go out and sample. And so that's kind of a more of a public, you know, health and safety, and we want to know what's going on. Yeah, so there'll be other, you know, programs. We hope to maybe do some boat landing and boat launch education and mm-hmm. screening too.
Can and should people be stewards year-round?
People should be stewards, of course, all year round. I mean, we all love the river, but this is the busy season. This is when people are on the river. This is when we have the canoes and kayak rentals. People are out fishing. And so really the important part of the River Association, as well as this new coordinator position, is to talk to all of those people, to reach out to the marinas, the bait dealers, the canoe and kayak rentals. A lot of legwork and on the ground and communication. The River Association can really fill the niche and that need for the coordination and the communication
mm-hmm.
and to be out and to be a voice for all of the people in our watershed.
How do you think we're doing in general at preserving the delicate ecosystem that is ours to protect? Actually, nature does a pretty good job of taking care of itself, but we, in essence, have to protect it from us mostly, don't we?
We do. Gosh, that can almost be a loaded question.
Well, it's, okay, it's loaded. You fire away now.
Yeah, so we have the cleanest tributary to the Mississippi in the whole country.
Ah.
So we do have very, very clean water. However, Lake St. Croix, basically, you know, in the Stillwater, Hudson, and the Lower Riverway, it is considered impaired for phosphorus. So we do have a pollution issue in the Lower Riverway, even though we are quite clean. Most of the issues are a result of humans in our interaction with the environment. And since we are a national park as well, we have this, what we call a thin ribbon of protection along the riverway. And I think that is what helps us to be the cleanest, you know, tributary to the Mississippi, is that we do have this buffer of native and wild vegetation to help filter off pollutants from the land. But it is still a challenge with that big of a watershed. Development and agricultural practices increase phosphorus loads and the pollution to the river. So this human progression has sped up the effects of pollution and water degradation.
Well, Monica, we want to help. Where can we find more information to get started doing that?
You can go to our website, stcroixriverassociation.org, to find out more information and how to volunteer and how to help. Always give us a call as well. All of our information is on our website.
Monica Zaki is a water resource steward, and we're happy she is. Thanks, Monica.
Thank you.
The culture of Western Wisconsin. That's one of the responsibilities we have here on Spectrum West. It's about how civilized we are, can, and should be. And civilization itself depends on water, not to mention the recreation we have created on and in it. So do whatever you can to be part of the team that protects both the necessity and the luxury. This is Spectrum West. I'm Al Ross. Good to have you along. Saturday, a Spectrum memo, the massive chalk art festival in downtown Eau Claire, Wilson Park. It's free, but artists must register. I'm told you can register right up to the moment of competition. There's an online registration form at volume1.org/chalkfest. Hours for viewing the work, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Here's what's on stage in area theater venues. The St. Croix Festival Theater's So Good Improv Troupe will perform Friday evening in the theater's Elbow Room. The Festival Theater Conservatory for Young Performers will perform Aristophanes' 405 B.C. comedy classic, The Frogs, this afternoon and tonight, Thursday. Its final performances will be staged next Thursday.
Almost Maine will be staged Saturday at the festival. The Wizard of Oz will be performed by the Phipps Children's Theater Friday through Sunday at the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson. At the Great River Shakespeare Festival in Winona, Merry Wives of Windsor will play tonight, Thursday, Friday afternoon, and will close Sunday evening. The final performance of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead will be staged Saturday afternoon. Hamlet will play Friday evening and will close Sunday afternoon, ending the 11th season of the festival. That Love and Feeling, the story of the Righteous Brothers, will play Friday and Saturday at the St. Croix Off-Broadway Dinner Theater in Hudson. The show will play Fridays and Saturdays and selected Sundays through August 9th. The Sunshine Boys, a production of the Red Barn Theater in Rice Lake, will play through August 9th. There is no performance this Sunday. And that's some of what's happening in live theater around the region. For Spectrum West, I'm Jim Oliver.
Spectrum West. As our Spectrum West promos this week suggested, it's the weekend in which the Chippewa River turns a nice loud shade of blues. At least in Durand, where you'll find 12 bars. No, not a dozen taverns, but 12 bar blues and a lot more. Some very impressive R&B entertainers visit Memorial Park for the 7th annual Blues on the Chippewa. I had the chance to corral organizer Dan Callum long enough to find out what we need to know and to hear a couple headliners. Bigger and better this year, Dan?
Well, we've certainly got some great acts. We do have the Craft Fair. We do have the run, our 5 and 10K run, both on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But we have plenty of great music coming to Durand, plenty of great blues.
Before we get to some names, let's talk about the funding that you guys provide for not only the Pepin County Food Pantry. We can talk about that. I'm also curious about the Brent Titus Music for Children program. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Brent Titus was a local musician in Durand that some of the people in our organization performed with. And he passed away a few years back of a heart attack.
Mm.
And so this was set up in his name to provide this. We provided last year a $500 scholarship to somebody out of high school that is going on to college for music.
Mm. It says Music for Children program.
The thing with the kids, so he, of course, liked children, you know, as we all do. And another thing that we do is we provided a bunch of guitars for the thing that goes out to the younger people to learn how to play it. So,
okay.
You know, it's multifaceted.
Mm-hmm. Pepin County Food Pantry, have they been a recipient before? Do you switch recipients every year, or has this been a longstanding association?
No, when we first started the event, we basically set it up to ask people to bring non-perishable food or cash donations for our local food pantry. And so we've always been online with them. That's basically why we started the event.
The slogan that I read online is promoting positive change through the power of music. What does that mean to you?
Well, we're trying to do good things for people using music. In other words, by having the music, we get the people to come to our event. A great day. It's also a little boost to the economy of Durand, because when you get roughly 4,000 or 5,000 people in town for a weekend, which typically was always the slowest weekend in Durand, one of them anyway in the summer because it's the Buffalo County Fair that weekend.
Yeah.
We figured that we'd try to do something, you know, like I say, not only to help the food pantry, but to help the economy of the town, to bring people into town.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We're talking on the phone with Dan Callan. He's one of the instigators in what is now the 7th annual Blues on the Chippewa. It's a festival. It's held in Memorial Park in Durand, and it's this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. You have one heck of a lineup.
On Friday, August 1st, we open at 6 o'clock that night with music in Memorial Park. The Alex Wilson Band, who was the representative this past year for Wisconsin going to the Blues Challenge in Memphis, will be opening the show. And they've got a special guest with them that's going to be performing. It'll be Jim Leibman. Now, he also went with them to the Blues Challenge. A lot of people probably remember him from years ago being the harp player in Short Stuff.
Oh, sure.
And then, of course, our headliner will be the 8-piece horn band, the Jimmies. out of the Madison area who played for us a couple years ago, were a big hit, and we were fortunate to be able to get them to come back again this year.
Okay. And we slide to Saturday?
Yes, on Saturday. Well, we start out at 8 in the morning with the 5 and 10K run, and then at noon, okay, our craft fair opens and the music starts. Our lineup is great. Starts out, our first band at noon is the King Snakes. They were a quite popular band a few years back in the Eau Claire area, but one of their members moved away to England, and he's coming back this summer, so it's sort of like a reunion.
Wow.
It'd be great to have them. Then we have Armadillo Jump out of the Twin Cities, the Sue Orfield Band, Mojo Lemon, who's been voted the most popular blues band in the Chippewa Valley the last 5-6 years in the Volume 1 poll, Left Wing Bourbon, which is our local band here out of Duran that has Faith Allwelling singing, and they're a funky, bluesy band that's really great. We have Sam Cockrell. He's out of Chicago, Illinois. He's also sort of a funky, bluesy player with his band that he's bringing up. And then our headliner will be Bernard Allison.
All right. That's a heck of a Saturday.
And it'll be nice to get Bernard to come back into the Eau Claire area, of course. There were several Eau Claire musicians that used to play with his dad, Luther Allison.
Yep.
And, now Bernard, of course, is out to traveling the world and playing blues music. And this is we've tried to get him for a few years, and this is the first year we've been able to get him to come to Duran because he's been in Europe touring the last few years.
I've been traveling this world for way too long. I need my baby in my arms.
Well, he'll be a good draw. How about Sunday, Dan?
Okay, on Sunday, we're going to be starting things off once again with the craft fair at noon. Music will not start until 1 p.m. We've actually added an international flavor to our event because we'll have Dave Arcari. He's a blues artist from Scotland that'll happen to be in the States. I got the chance to meet him last year at a Tuesday night blues performance in Eau Claire's Owen Park. And I asked him, well, do you normally come back about this time in August? I said, well, how would you like to play our blues fest? And he said, I'd love to work it out. So he'll be performing along he'll have some backup from Eau Claire's Rhythm Posse.
I have to tell people that they should go to your website just to see his photograph. He's got kind of a wacky photograph on the website.
Yeah, he's quite an individual. It's sort of like he can be there that a edgy kind of heavy metal meets the blues, almost kind of slidey guitar kind of thing. He's a character.
Yep.
But very, very talented. To round out the day, we've got the three female blues acts. Okay. We're going to have Annie Mack, who comes out of the Rochester area with her soulful blues voice. Davina and the Vagabonds,
right,
who out of the Twin Cities will be returning with their Dixieland blues. And if you haven't seen them, you'll love them. I mean, they're a great, great act.
I'm a fan of hers.
And then we've got our headliner for the day will be Kelly Hunt, the keyboard singing blues artist that just released a new album. She gets into the Twin Cities twice a year to play the Dakota Jazz Club for a Friday and Saturday. And for the past 3 years, she's been selling out every performance she's done there. And that's at $30 to $40 a ticket.
Wow.
You can come to Duran and see her for free.
Tearing them down.
Yeah, that is one heck of a lineup. I mean, I don't know the blues as well as some people, but I was even impressed. I went online and I took a look and I said, wow, they did some work getting these people here. Dan, as someone who's been part of the music community in West Wisconsin for quite some time, talk a little bit, if you can, about the statement that this part of Wisconsin has a wealth of musical arts. Why do you think that is?
Well, I don't know. Myself, I mean, I started playing music professionally when I was like 13 years old, going out and playing in beer bars and high school dances. And it just seems through this area, I mean, I started out playing rock and roll and then sort of evolved through that to the country scene. And then now I also jam a little bit of blues here and there. You know, it's just at Eau Claire, this Chippewa Valley, it just had a wealth of music. I mean, yeah, I can remember back in the days when there were like three or four clubs in Eau Claire that ran six nights a week. They have the Hoffman House, DJ Tweeds, Wagner's. On the countryside, there was Miter's, which was underneath the TV tower. And, I mean, then we had the Howard Johnson's O'Leary's that ran multiple nights. A lot of places to play, a lot of music. And, of course, the college in Eau Claire has got a great music program.
You bet.
And when I went to college in the early 70s, and I was fortunate enough to play with some of the fine jazz musicians in a horn band that were in the Dominic Spira's number one jazz band. There's just so many. It just seems like the talent's here. And, I mean, I travel around and have for years all over the country. I don't know too many areas besides probably going to places like Austin, Texas, or
sure,
or Nashville, Tennessee, that are probably as blessed with as many musicians and talented ones that we have around here.
Yeah, it's a pleasant surprise. And I think it's a credit to the individuals who are involved, too, because as you have done over the years, everybody who's good at what they do musically in Western Wisconsin and the Chippewa Valley, as you mentioned, is that way because they were willing to pay their dues. They wanted to play, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday Night Blues at Owen Park, still going on. It continues through August 26th. Dan Callen, thanks for being with us and giving us all the information on the 7th Annual Blues on the Chippewa this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Durand. Thanks for bringing it to us.
I thank you, Alan. Another thing people can do if they want to check out other things to do with the blues, you can go to the ChippewaValleyBlues.com. They've even got another event that's going to be held this September, Blues in the Pines. It will be held at the Whispering Pines Campground down near Osseo, Wisconsin. Gosh, it's going to be a great summer. Like I say, Blues on the Chippewa this year. It looks like the weather is going to be great, too. So we invite you all to come to Durand and enjoy the music and at the same time help out a great cause.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Blues on the Chippewa, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Durand. Next week we'll have a preview of the Northwoods Rock Rally coming to Glen Flora in a couple of weeks. Ah, the hills are alive with the sound of music. River valleys, too, as you might guess. This is Spectrum West. Thanks for being here.
Support for WPR comes from Ken Vance Volkswagen, featuring the 2014 Passat, offering a 3.6 V6, a clean diesel, or a TSI turbo engine, all with DSG automatic transmissions. KenVance.com.
Spectrum Memo, Sunday night at the Shell Lake Art Center. It's Son Sax from Costa Rica. You heard him last week right here, and then next Saturday, the 9th, it's the 10th Annual Evening with the Stars Gala. It's big. That's all I can say. ShellLakeArtCenter.org is their website. By the way, as Dan was mentioning, Dave R. Carey, he is the act Tuesday night, next Tuesday night, at Tuesday Night Blues at Owen Park in Eau Claire. August 5th, Dave R. Carey. Music starts at 6:30. Cool. Congratulations to Allison O'Neill of Chippewa Falls and Grace Pickler from Mondovi. They showed us their talent and are now headed to the Wisconsin State Fair to perform next Friday, August 8th. Lots going on at the Phipps Center in Hudson. Auditions for Sleeping Beauty. The Dance Theater celebrates Broadway. You can learn Tai Chi and yoga. The galleries have wonderful exhibits. All the information you need is at thephipps.org. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Jim Oliver takes us up to Rice Lake in the Red Barn Theater for the segment we like to call He's Oliver That.
The Sunshine Boys, a comedy by Neil Simon, has just opened at the Red Barn Theater in Rice Lake. The play will run nightly through Saturday, August the 9th. There's no show this Sunday. Joining us by telephone to talk about this Neil Simon work is Rachel Westberg, the director of the Red Barn production. Welcome to Spectrum West.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, this being your first gig as a director at the Red Barn, what attracted your interest to the Sunshine Boys?
I think really my interest in the Sunshine Boys is it just came down to it's such a great story. You know, with Neil Simon, it's kind of hard to go wrong.
Yes.
Nice. It's just a well-written comedy, and just I read it over and said, I think I can do this. So.
Well, okay. I guess that's you're finding that out as we go along here, I assume.
Yeah.
Tell us what the play is about.
The play is about two old comedic partners, kind of from the sketch comedy vaudeville era of comedy, and they were partners for many, many, many years, and had since kind of had a falling out. And years later, one of the comedian's nephews, who happens to be his agent, is trying to get them back together for one last hurrah, one last TV special, as part of a larger history of comedy special that one of the TV networks is trying to do. Mm-hmm. And so the play itself is kind of about getting them back together, their relationship, their friendship, and how they just get back in touch with each other after so many years of not really having a relationship anymore.
Mm-hmm. Now, Neil Simon's work is always known mostly as you know, it's just funny, as you pointed out. It's a, mm-hmm. it's a humorous play, and he was he got his start in television as a gag writer. But one reviewer said that one of the strengths of this play is Simon's ability to bring tenderness as well as humor out of his characters. How does that work with a couple of aging entertainers? Is it written that way, or is this something the director has to work with the actors to make sure that that happens?
I think it's a little bit of both. Neil Simon has done a great job of adding that tenderness into the play, especially during some of the last scenes. It's a very sweet ending to the show, and a lot of the play also kind of has this theme of growing older, and how these two comedians kind of grapple with the realization that, you know, they may not be able to work, and I think that's something that a lot of people can relate to as they see family members grow older. And so just seeing that in this show, I think, really brought out kind of a neat part to the play. And I'm really trying to touch on that because it is such a poignant portion of the show in seeing that happen and their relationship come back full circle.
Well, tell us who are the cast members in the show?
We have Pastor Jeff Martin, who is playing Willie Clark, one of the comedians. We have Bill Koslowski playing Al Lewis, the other comedian. Both are veterans of the Red Barn stage. They've been in several shows, and so they have been a wonderful, wonderful addition to the show, and to be able to work with them and their experience has been great for me. We have another young man by the name of Ben Heer, who is playing the character of Ben Silverman, who is the agent and nephew of Willie Clark, Willie's character. And he is a fantastic young actor who's just doing a great job. And then we have several other parts throughout the show. Mary Hankins, another Red Barn veteran, who is playing a registered nurse. And we have a couple of characters in the sketch, Dr. Sketch portion of the show, the little scene that they do kind of in the middle of the show. In the second act, we have a sketch nurse being played by Emily Davis. Roger Muldrink is playing a TV assistant. And we have Rick Snyder, who is kind of the voice of the director throughout that scene. So it's a relatively small cast, but a mm-hmm. great group.
She is Rachel Westberg, who is director of the Red Barn Theater production of The Sunshine Boys. We all know, as if we've acted in a show at one time or another, we worry about the director, and then the next ones we worry about are the technical crew. So do you have set builders and all of that kind of stuff.
Yep. We have Rob Mackey, who has done some other shows up at the Red Barn as well. He was our set designer. We have a great costume designer at the Red Barn, Jen Albright, and Rick Snyder, who is also in the cast, has been helping a lot with the soundboard, and we also have a house manager who will run the sound and light board, and a couple of other people who have just been helping out behind the scenes here and there. Mm-hmm. So we've had a great gal who is new to the barn, who painted some of the set design. Her name is Gabriella. She did a great job painting some of the stuff we needed. So it's definitely been a collaborative effort with everybody involved.
Mm-hmm. Well, you told me you've been acting in shows with the Red Barn since 2008. So what got you started in this whole theater business anyway?
I think my love of theater just kind of started on the stage here at the high school. Back when it was Chautauqua High School, now Chautauqua Weyerhaeuser High School. And I just fell in love with theater and being on stage, being someone different and having that escape and helping audience members escape with you. And the Red Barn, I was lucky enough to get in a couple of plays at the Red Barn back in 2008 and have just kind of been involved ever since.
So how do you compare being an actor to being a director?
It's two different, definitely two different hats. It's a different dynamic. When you're an actor, you're thinking about mainly what you have to do, and that's kind of all you're assigned, other than, you know, making sure that the little things that you're supposed to be in charge of, or, you know, assigned on stage, you know, maybe putting on a prop or moving a set piece. Other than that, you're pretty much concerned with your lines and going where you need to go. As a director, you've got to be concerned with where everybody's going and all of the props and all of the set. It's definitely a different hat. It's a different way of thinking.
Well, you are the director of the drama club at Chautauqua Weyerhaeuser High School.
Correct. Yep.
Talk about how that got going and what's happening there.
A few years ago, I believe it was back in 2009, a couple years after I graduated college and had come back to the area, decided that it was time to get a drama club and theater program started back at the high school. I didn't have a lot of experience at that time, but just felt that it was really important to be able to have that in the district. And so another community member and I got together, and we started forming the drama club and picking out plays and casting and doing shows, and we've been going ever since. A couple people have been in and out, and we've had new cast members and new students, but we've gotten stronger every year. It had been a while since some shows had been done prior to us kind of revamping the program, so it was really exciting to see that interest back in the school. And a lot of that came from being involved at the Red Barn, too, seeing how many of the individuals that were involved at the Red Barn were from the Chautauqua area and the Chautauqua Weyerhaeuser area and who were students, and just felt that there was definitely a need to get that going again. And so we did, and we've been going ever since.
What kind of shows do you do? One acts, full, two act, three act shows, or what? Any examples of things you've produced recently?
This spring, we did a show called The Secret Case of Sherlock Holmes. Oftentimes, we end up doing, you know, typical high school productions, comedies. We do some one-acts. We also did The Legend of Sleepy Hollow as a one-act last fall, and we'll probably be doing a one-act again this fall. In 2013, we did our first musical, what I believe was the first musical ever performed on that stage, as far as I've been told, which we did Bye Bye Birdie.
Ah.
So that was kind of a turning point, I think, for us in being able to do that and take the resources that we do have and the people that we do have around here and try to put something like that together. It was definitely a journey for everyone involved.
Do you direct the shows, or is that spread around a little bit?
I usually direct the shows, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I do have some help with a couple of other great individuals. Bob Rogers, who is also involved with the Red Barn Theater, he and I co-direct the shows right now. He's been a great addition to the drama club as well. So we've been having a lot of fun putting all that together and working with the students here.
That's the best part.
Yes, it is.
Well, we've been visiting with Rachel Westberg, director of the Red Barn Theater production of The Sunshine Boys. The Neil Simon play will run through Saturday, August the 9th, with no performance this Sunday. For ticket information, contact the Red Barn at www.redbarntheater-ricelake.com. The theater is spelled with an R-E. Rachel, thanks so much for being with us and break a leg with the show.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
And Jim Oliver, thanks so much for being with us, as you are every week. How do you like the name of that new segment? He's Oliver That, huh? Yeah, I thought so. Well, I had a conversation the other day with unique musician and enlightened activist Billy McLaughlin. We'll feature that conversation in coming weeks and some of his tunage. Next week, we have a look at the 2014 Ashley for the Arts Festival coming next weekend in Arcadia. We'll talk with a gentleman maintaining a big legacy with a Whitman monologue. That's Walt Whitman. A UW Eau Claire percussion quartet visited South Africa this summer. We'll find out how that went. And, of course, more. As we say, always more on Spectrum West. Thanks, Ashley and Tiffany and Dean and Rich, for helping put Spectrum West together. Thanks to our guests this week. And to you for helping define together. You know, we couldn't be together if one of us was missing. So thanks for showing up each week. And keep your emails and suggestions coming. It's what makes what I do so enjoyable. Let's toss in another Spectrum memo. Yeah, ooh, lots of stuff coming up. Tonight, Thursday night, Sounds Like Summer concert series at Phoenix Park Eau Claire features Licio, Honey Tree, and Dan Zare. Chill on the Hill at UW River Falls continues Tuesday, August 5th. It's the big finale with music of S. Carey and the Erickson's. How's that for a lineup? Thursday night, tonight, Memorial Park in Ladysmith, the Music in the Park series presents the Nuto Dixie Band. Monday on the West Side, Rich Kramer welcomes candidates in the 31st State Senate Republican primary, Bill Ingram from Durand and Mel Pittman out of Plum City. I'm Al Ross. It's been fun. See you next week.